Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. There was no warning for the 1,500 at least who have died in the African nation of Cameroon. A volcanic lake belched poison gas, and death for those around its shores was swift. In addition to the dead, 300 people have been hospitalized, and Eric Hagland of the UN Disaster Relief Office in Geneva says supplies are urgently needed for thousands of others.
Tents, blankets, camping beds, and food items for the 30,000 people affected.
Cameroon government officials admit the casualty count from the disaster is incomplete. Tom Fenton has been following the story from London.
Cameroon troops equipped with gas masks are searching for survivors and trying to bury the dead as quickly as possible. There's fear of an epidemic. Up to 90% of the population in the villages around Lake Neos has been wiped out. Many people died in their homes. Others were mowed down in the streets by the deadly gases. One missionary said the area looks as if it has been hit by a neutron bomb. The first foreign aid reached Cameroon yesterday with Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres, who arrived for a previously planned trip. He brought with him a medical team. Cameroon President Paul Biya has asked for more foreign aid. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
Two U.S. disaster relief teams are expected in Cameroon today. Paul Crump of the Agency for International Development, a physical scientist, helped make the arrangements. He says there are three scenarios which could explain the disaster.
Possible small earthquake that would have occurred, a possible landslide causing debris moving into the deep lake sediment, causing a mixing of the water in a series of chemical reactions which would have led to the gas explosion. And then there's a possibility of a fumarole release of hot gas through a fissure in the volcanic crater itself.
We asked Crump if there's anything that can be done to prevent natural phenomena like the Lake Nyos occurrence.
We can do some sampling in the lake bed sediments, which is what we're sending our team over there to do in this case. We can also look at unstable geologic structures in the area, and particularly look at where the people are in the villages around the lakes and their relative vulnerability to potential disaster.
Israel, France, and West Germany have also offered to send aid to the stricken African nation. What's Muammar Gaddafi got up his sleeve now? U.S. officials think he's planning more terrorism and warn there could be more military retaliation if the Libyan leader strikes.
This is Ike Pappas in Santa Barbara. A strong diplomatic effort will be made to try to put pressure on Gaddafi to abandon any plans he may have of renewing his terrorist campaign against the West. UN Ambassador Vernon Walters will leave next month for Europe to try to persuade the Western allies to cut off all diplomatic ties with Gaddafi and impose a total trade embargo against Libya. If Gaddafi is not dissuaded, the United States may have to launch military action against Libya. Officials are talking about the possibility of a new bombing raid on Libya, this one more severe than the one last April that caused Gaddafi to abruptly halt his attacks against the West. American aircraft this time may hit oil refineries and storage tanks, the heart of the Libyan economy. Egyptian warships are staging exercises at the moment with U.S. aircraft off the Egyptian coast, but far from Libya. Officials say the maneuvers are not connected to the present situation. Yesterday, administration officials confirmed Gaddafi wants to hire terrorists to attack U.S. diplomats in Europe and the Middle East. One possible target is said to be the American ambassador to West Germany, Richard Burt. Ike Pappas, CBS News, with the president in Santa Barbara.
China reportedly has become Iran's biggest arms supplier, despite pressure from the United States for the People's Republic not to upset the military balance of the Iran-Iraq war. Newspaper reports say China sold Iran $300 million worth of weapons in the past 6 months. Chinese officials have repeatedly denied charges that China is shipping arms to Iran. There's no progress reported in solving the terrible mess involving three airlines, Frontier, People Express, and United, a mess that has grounded all Frontier flights. Bob McNamara in Denver untangles the threads of the story for us.
Frontier's owner People Express says maybe today Frontier will go to bankruptcy court, maybe tomorrow. What's happening is People Express is still trying to sell Frontier to United Airlines at a price less than what the two sides agreed to earlier this year. Still stalling the deal is a labor dispute, how to merge lower-paid Frontier pilots into United. United wants Frontier pilots to wait 5 years before their pay is brought up to United's, but the pilots' union wants it done in 30 months. Late yesterday, Colorado Congressman Tim Wirth told Frontier employees their airline and jobs aren't dead yet. that People Express and United might have as much as 48 hours to make a deal.
Anybody who's been to a football game knows that it's foolish to leave until the final quarter is over. One might put it another way, the fat lady hasn't sung yet.
No, but that may be her tuning up under all that applause. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Denver.
Money, more than $17 spent per voter, has been the principal ingredient of the primary campaign in Alaska, and today is Decision Day, as we hear from Bill Shehi of CBS radio affiliate KJNO in Juneau.
Alaska's 280,000 registered voters will be going to the polls today to determine if Governor Bill Sheffield deserves nomination for a second term after becoming the first governor in Alaska's relatively brief history as a state to face impeachment proceedings. Sheffield is seen to be vulnerable, mainly because of a grand jury's recommendation last summer that the state legislature impeach him for steering state leases to a political ally. The Alaska State Senate decided there were insufficient legal grounds to pursue the matter. Nine Republicans are vying for the chance to run against the Democratic incumbent if he can beat off challenges from three candidates from his own party. A front-running Republican candidate is former governor of Alaska, Walter J. Hickel. Hickel left state politics in 1966 to become Interior Secretary under President Nixon. Hickel later quit that post and ran unsuccessfully for the governor's job in 1974 and 1978. Bill Shehi for CBS News, Juneau.
For the third time this week, a murderer has been executed by lethal injection in Texas. Chester Wicks died about 10 minutes after getting the needle, shortly after midnight.
He had a friend there by the name of Judith Lamleon, and she also claimed to be his spiritual advisor. When the command was given to proceed, she was given a little dialogue, and the only response he had was that, "I love you," and it was over just real quickly.
Charles Brown of the Texas Department of Corrections. Wicks had been convicted of killing a young Beaumont, Texas woman by burying her alive on a beach. Wall Street opened higher this morning. The Dow Industrials up 3.65 on big board volume of 17 million shares. The prime rate is settling into its lowest level in nearly 9 years. Three more major banks have lowered their primes to 7.5% effective today. The American dollar was on the rise this morning as the European money exchanges opened. Gold was mixed, opening down a dollar and a half in London. It's 10 after.